This is an audio extra from Ozarks at Large and KUAF 91.3 FM. I'm Kyle Kellums. When Matthew Hendrickson came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about his new volume of poetry, Ordinary Sun, I asked him one of those questions that only a non-poet could ask a poet. Do you write poetry for yourself and for others? Just for yourself and then let others come to it as they can?
I mean, I don't know how to answer that question honestly in words. I definitely know why I write, and that the best expression of that is in the work itself. Mm-hmm. I like my life, and I like the world and its physical manifestations, and I also like the world in my mind and in the abstract emotional and intellectual and spiritual manifestations. And I think I write just in praise of that. It's more poetry to me is somewhere between an animalistic guttural bellowing and some sort of, you know, exclamation of joy. I definitely think about an audience. Mm-hmm. It changed me as a person and as a poet when I found an audience, particularly when I was living in Brooklyn. But I'm not writing to make anybody happy. And I'm happy with what I write.
You have a poem in Ordinary Sun that begins with the statement that you were in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Yeah.
And you saw a cat and tree. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, when you see something that eventually sparks inspiration or eventually is written about, do you collect them? I mean, do you think to yourself at that moment that that's something that could be used? Or do you sometimes work on memory?
Both. I kept notebooks more often when I was a graduate student and my first days in New York. Something changed after a few years in Brooklyn, and maybe it had to do with going to an inordinate amount of poetry readings every week and having my main poetry input being auditory. And I started composing lines in my head. But before that, definitely the poems were starting with imagery. A lot of times, something I saw, almost all of those poems, the poem you're talking about, The New Surrealism, mm-hmm. is one of the first poems I wrote in New York. It's a collection of images, and the sound comes later. When I'm working on a big project, like one of the longer poems, I usually have a notebook, and I'm collecting things and collaging things together later on. But it keeps changing for me, mm-hmm. how I do things.
When I first talked to you, when you had moved here from Brooklyn, 5 years ago?
I think not quite so long.
Okay.
More like 3 or 4.
3 or 4, okay. And I asked you and your wife, Katie, why leave Brooklyn? I mean, here's where something's happening all the time. And you said, well, that's good and that's bad. You were really looking forward to seeing what Fayetteville would do and what Northwest Arkansas would do. What has it done since you've been here?
I've changed a lot. I mean, having a child changes things, too. And in Brooklyn, teaching was something that I did to make money, and I loved it, but I went home from it. And here, teaching has really taken a bigger part of my life over, because there aren't as many poets and artists to go hang out with every night, and there's not as many events and things. And it's the same people all the time. And the students are the ones who really sort of come to my classroom with fresh things. You know, we're talking about literature in class all the time. And, of course, they have a different approach to it than the people I hung out with in New York. But the thing that I'm always looking for is somebody to say something that I haven't heard. And it doesn't necessarily need to be positive. So that's certainly changed. And I think that I've become more certain in my pursuit of my own work, because in New York, a lot of what I did was promoting through magazines and events. And here, it just doesn't occur as spontaneously or as naturally. So I do events here, and I still publish one of the magazines that I've had. But a lot more of my attention goes to my work and having my work exist out in the world. Who knows if I would have a book if I'd stayed in Brooklyn. I didn't need one.
Ordinary Son, which is the final part of the book. I don't know if you'd call it an opus, or it's substantial.
Yeah. it's a poem that people usually say something about when they review the book, or they say something to me. It's different than the other work.
It is.
For one thing, it's spatially organized. I wrote it on a typewriter.
A manual typewriter?
Yeah. I was doing that a lot at the time, but this one stayed very much like the original draft. And it was written on a weekend. I'd been drinking some whiskey. Katie was in the other room doing some music writing, and I didn't remember what I'd typed the next morning. And I went back and I cut the last two parts of it, and that's pretty much what it was. So,
you didn't remember what you had typed.
So it was the first two pages, and then I knew that it had gone on, and then I was like, "Man, this thing keeps going on." And then there's the Satchel Paige stuff, and Lester Young, and I'm like, "This is me." You know, these are the things that come into my head when I'm, you know, alone. Satchel Paige,
legendary baseball player.
Yeah,
Lester Young, legendary jazz artist.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a big baseball fan.
Yeah, I'm a huge baseball fan. Even though I was a soccer player growing up, but baseball would have been my other sport.
You know, with baseball and jazz and poetry, and I'm not going to try to make some sort of cliched connection between the three, but there are three art forms that have all perhaps had bigger audiences in the mainstream than they do now. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a connection between you and those three?
Well, I think that I would have been much more popular, personally, in a bygone era. You know, I also love the old, you know, the old blues artists.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a throwback kind of thing. I don't know that I'm longing for those days. Something that those three things have in common is that none of them ever have to end. And they end out of, you know, I mean, baseball endings. There's never been a baseball game that's gone on for infinity, but it's possible. There's a great
There's no clock, right.
There's no clock. There's a great T.C. Boyle story about that, where the game goes on forever. And you know, poems, any poet knows that you could just keep going and going and going unless you have this imagined closed form, which is someone who loves, you know, prosodic forms. I don't want a closed form. I want to work and work and work till I can run myself out. The same way a baseball game will do it. And jazz, of course, is like that. And I think I did take a lot of my cues from jazz musicians when I was a student. And I still, I mean, that's... playing Charles Mingus is... It relieves me of the responsibility to ever actually create anything, because there's no way I could ever... I mean, Mingus did it. I mean, I feel the same way about William Blake and William Shakespeare. I realized at one point, I was like, oh, I don't have to write anything good. Because for me, Shakespeare and Blake covered it all. And everything else is just fun.
So that's not intimidating. That's liberating.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's an element to writing poetry that's very non-competitive. I mean, I sent my book to Black Ocean in part because they don't do book contests, which for a first book is the primary way to get your book published. They don't make sense to me. I'm not against the practice, you know, but the idea of having a book win something doesn't make any sense to me. The same thing with an audience. If an audience appears, it's miraculous. You know, I wonder if some of the great jazz musicians felt that way, if they were recognized.
Yeah, I can imagine if you're really, really in the middle of playing that's really got you, you may not even know there was an audience or care.
Well, certainly, you know, a lot of the great jazz musicians, especially the contemporaries, could find a wider audience doing things other than what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not about that. It's about the form itself. That's why jazz hasn't gone away. It's just gone away from the mainstream. And that's, poetry hasn't died. It's just there's other forms of entertainment. You know, you have television, you have fiction, you have music, and all of the things that Homer sort of had brought together, but there's still elements of ourselves that we can only find in poetry, and so it's still there.
Matt Henriksen's book is titled Ordinary Son. He'll have a reading at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville Thursday night. This has been an audio extra from Ozarks at Large and KUAF 91.3 FM. I'm Kyle Kellum.